every time I click the mouse, it will double or triple or quadruple click, and I never know which. So, hello. We're going to restart the show because I've been talking for about 5 minutes. So, let's start over. It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Okay, now we can get started. Sorry about that. Like I was saying, my mouse, I think it's because I play Minecraft too much, and so I play it wrong. I sit there and click every time I'm mining something. So I click probably thousands of times more than I should have on this mouse. So while it looks normal, the button is rather loose and seems to not register right. So anyway, all my settings apparently got toggled off when I thought I was toggling them on, and that's why I wasn't broadcasting. What do you know? Anyway, we don't have time for all of that. We're already 5 minutes late, so let's go ahead and just get started the way we always do with the world news. World news. And now you know why all my sound effects often get stutters.
World news.
All right, let's get going. First up, we're going to start in Georgia. Not the United States of, place of Georgia, but the country. So, basically, police stormed the offices of Georgian opposition leader Nika Melia and detained him on Tuesday, deepening a political crisis that prompted the prime minister to resign last week. Melia's supporters had barricaded themselves in the office, using furniture to block doors. Scores of police surged into the building during the early morning raid, including using firefighting ladders to gain access via the roof. 17 people were hurt in the scuffle between police and activists. The Interfax news agency reported some activists were coughing and suffered eye irritation after police sprayed gas toward them from handheld canisters. Hundreds of people had massed outside Parliament to protest against his detention and pitched two tents in the capital of Tbilisi. One protester held up a sign calling for a snap election, the government's resignation, and freedom for political prisoners. The U.S. Embassy said it was deeply concerned by Melia's detention and expressed regret that its call for restraint and dialogue had been ignored. Late on Monday, Georgia's parliament voted to form a new government led by Prime Minister Irakli Garibashvili, who served as prime minister in 2013 to 2015 and whose candidacy was put forward by the ruling Georgian Dream Party. The Interior Ministry said in a separate statement that its computer infrastructure had been hit by a cyber attack from abroad, but that it had repelled it. So, good luck to Georgia. Seems like some oppression going on. Want to do a big shout out to everybody in comm. I did this into the void earlier and was quite, it was a little bit of a stumbling block. But thank you, X1 and Northern Lights, for talking about the spaghetti mess. That helped me figure out that indeed I had forgot to click the button, or I hadn't clicked the button properly. So big shout outs. We got all the cool people in comm. You can get there yourself just by going to SDF and then typing comm. COM, that's the chat program. Press G for go to, and then Anon Radio. So then you can reach out and talk to people in on the room like Exile and Publius, Northern Lights, Ratsu, and X1, Jazzmaz is here even. Everybody's around, so it's a good time. It's definitely a lot of fun. So get on involved. It's A-OK. And if you don't like this show, that's cool. At 1930 UTC, every single day, is the Doobie Skulls Committee. And if you don't like that, well, I don't know what you're doing with your life. But anyway, tune in. All right, let's keep going. We got lots of
world news
to go. And M. Stoney has joined the mix. Welcome, welcome. All right, so let's keep moving. Malaysia. What's going on in Malaysia? Well, Malaysia sent more than 1,000 Myanmar nationals back to their strife-torn homeland on Tuesday, despite a court order to halt the deportation, a move rights groups said could endanger the deportees' lives. The 1,086 Myanmar citizens were sent back on three Navy ships sent by Myanmar's military, which seized power in a February 1st coup, sparking weeks of protests from pro-democracy activists. Malaysia had initially said it would deport 1,200. Malaysia vowed not to deport Rohingya Muslims or refugees registered with the UN High Commission for Refugees, which is abbreviated UNHCR. But the agency has said at least six people registered with it were among the deportees. Refugee groups also say asylum seekers from the minority Chin, Kachin, and non-Rohingya communities fleeing conflict and persecution at home are among those being deported. All of those returned had agreed to be sent back voluntarily without being forced by any party, Khairul Zaimi Daud said in a statement. He did not respond to queries on why the repatriation was carried out despite the court-ordered halt. The Kuala Lumpur High Court had granted a stay until 10 a.m. Wednesday, when it was scheduled to hear an application by rights groups for a judicial review to suspend the deportation. So, this is sad news indeed. The United States and other Western missions have been trying to dissuade Malaysia from proceeding with the deportation and urged the government to allow the UNHCR to interview the detainees. They also say Malaysia is legitimizing the Myanmar military government by cooperating with the junta. So, very scary indeed. Pretty wild. Of course, don't worry, Malaysia is still plenty in the news. But it's like, there's a lot going on. It's pretty terrible. Oh, ow. Sorry, one sec. So, I've been growing my beard out, and it got caught in the hinge of the microphone, which is very funny because my beard's never been long enough to get caught in anything. All right, focus, Marcus, focus.
World news.
Let's do this. Three men suspected of having supplied the bomb which killed Maltese anti-corruption journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia. Put that in calm, because I totally messed up that name. Boop. Let's see. Can we get it? Yes. There we go. Boom. Daphne Caruana Galizia. Were arrested on Tuesday. Their arrest came as a man accused of carrying out the killing agreed to a plea deal, accepting his responsibility for the assassination in return for a reduced 15-year jail term, instead of possible life behind bars. A legal source said Vince Muscat had provided police with vital information about the case, which has shown a spotlight on corruption in the European Union's smallest country. Muscat and two other men were arrested in December 2017 and accused of having planned and executed the murder. Muscat's alleged accomplices continue to plead not guilty. So, Muscat is not related to Joseph Muscat, the former prime minister, who was in office when Galizia was killed and resigned in December 2019 to shoulder political responsibility. Finnick was close friends with the former premier's chief of staff, who has denied any wrongdoing and any knowledge of the murder or its perpetrators. So, not the Vatican. This is from Malta. I don't think the Vatican's part of the EU. Publius got it. Of course, Publius has a wealth of information about a lot of topics, so he beat me to it in comm. Anyway, what else is happening? There's so much. I'm trying to focus, but I'm having trouble. There's this voice in the back of my
head. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I just hear it, you know. It's this guy. I don't know
get
if you
get
can
the,
hear
get
him,
the news over with. I want to hear
just
the
always
music.
He's shouting at me about getting the news over with. So let's go. Go. EU calls on China to allow meaningful access to Xinjiang. What is meaningful access? Well, let's find out. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell called on China on Tuesday to allow UN human rights boss Michelle Bachelet to visit and investigate alleged mistreatment of Muslim Uyghurs in the Xinjiang region and of the people in Tibet. Borrell, addressing the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, said, "Once again, we urge China to allow meaningful access to Xinjiang for independent observers, including High Commissioner Bachelet. This is key to enable an independent, impartial, and transparent assessment of the grave concerns the international community has." Borrell denounced unacceptable repression against peaceful protesters in Russia and called for restoring the legitimate civilian government in Myanmar, adding, "There is everywhere, democracy must prevail." So, in addition to urging China, they also talked about those other things. So, whether or not anything happens, that's going to be up for debate. China has been pretty stubborn for a few thousand years, so I don't know if we're going to be able to push them over one way or another. All right, well, now it's time to talk about Nepal. Nepal? What? Yeah, look on a map. It's pretty cool. Nepal's top court on Tuesday ordered the reinstatement of parliament, dealing a blow to Prime Minister KP, that's Kilo Papa, Sharma Oli, 2 months after he dissolved the house and called for an early election amid squabbling within the ruling Communist Party. The ruling means Oli, who was elected in 2018 following his party's landslide win in an election in 2017, faces a no-confidence vote once parliament resits. The Himalayan nation has been in political turmoil since December when Oli, who turned 69, on Tuesday, made a sudden decision to call elections 18 months ahead of schedule amid the coronavirus pandemic that has hit the tourism-dependent economy hard. The recommendation for the dissolution of the House of Representatives and the notice dissolving parliament have been rejected by the honorable judges, Bhadrakali Pokharel, a court official, told Reuters. Judges heard more than a dozen petitions challenging Oli's move as unconstitutional and seeking their reinstatement of the House, which still had 2 years to run when it was dissolved. So, quite a lot going on there. Oli and his aides were not immediately available for comment, big surprise, but his lawyers said they would honor the ruling. "We respect the court and honor the verdict. The parliament will sit within 13 days as ordered by the court," Ramesh Badal, one of Ali's lawyers, told Reuters. So, this is pretty wild. The leader of the country is rather photogenic. If you go to Reuters and look in the world news section, you can find the story, and the first headline photo has the leader, and he has a really crooked finger and a cool hat and a nice jacket. So anyway, that's my take. If you trust your world leaders by their outfits, this guy looks trustworthy. But if you read the news, you're like, uh-oh, don't think so, buddy. Anyway, I hope they stay warm and don't die. All right, now it's time. We gotta hurry. We got some African news, and then it's time. We gotta play some music.
Get the news over with. I wanna hear the music.
This guy wants me to play some music. All right, first up, good news. Nigeria kidnappers free 53 people seized on bus. Kidnappers released 53 people, including women and children, seized on a bus in Nigeria, while dozens of others taken from a school in a separate attack are still missing. We talked about the school attack, but we didn't talk about the bus. Criminal gangs in northwestern and central Nigeria have scaled up attacks in recent years, kidnapping, raping, and pillaging. A gang last week seized 53 people, including 20 women and 9 children, who were traveling on a state-owned bus in Kundu village in Niger State. "I was delighted to receive the 53 bus passengers who were abducted by armed bandits a week ago," the governor, Abubakar Sani Bello, said in a tweet late on Sunday. It is unknown if a ransom was paid, but state representatives have previously said they would not pay any. "We went through 1 week of dialogue, consultations, hard work, and sleepless nights because we had to secure their release within the shortest possible time." The freed bus passengers received medical checkups before being reunited with their families. In a separate incident, this is one we talked about before, 42 people, including 27 schoolboys, were abducted last week and are still missing. So, quite scary there. Oh, hello, welcome, Oak3. Thanks for chatting and being part of the crew. Sui generous side. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on in comms, so I'm not going to pause because we don't got a time. We only got about 11 minutes. 7 elected officials killed in a landmine blast as Niger votes. So we're still there. 7 members of Niger's Electoral Commission have been killed during the country's presidential election runoff when their vehicle hit a mine and exploded in the troubled western region of Tillaberi. The country regularly suffers attacks by armed groups, and it increased to protect Sunday's poll, in which the governing party candidate, Mohamed Bazoum, is facing former President Mahamane Ousmane. a vehicle belonging to the Electoral Commission and carrying election workers to their polling stations hit a mine in the rural commune of Dargol in the southwest side, said Haruna Munkalia, vice president of the commission's local branch. They were leaving to drop off the ballot boxes and the members of the polling station, adding that three other workers were seriously wounded. So, sad news indeed happening there. And it's about that time. It's time. Time for music. Let's find out. Let's get the guy's name properly. Because in comm, sometimes I mush mouth my names. So, the front runner, his name is Mohammed Bazoum, Bazoum. And the other, and the former president's name is not Mohammed. It is Mahamani Osmane, or Osmane, or Osmane. I'm not sure. And it's always weird, because if you ask the internet how to pronounce a name, you will not usually not get a definitive answer. It's rather frustrating. But, I mean, what are you going to do, right? It's like, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where you're like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'll just try. We'll just try. We'll see what happens. So, what are we going to do? Well, we got a song to play. You know what it's called? Because I'm having trouble talking? This is called Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian.
Are the words I long to hear. Lay your kakanu You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, 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 indeed. You are listening to Anon Radio, and this is news to me. We are in the last 4 minutes and some change of the show. Thank you for being here. I'm DJ Marcus, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Coming up after this, check out anonradio.net for the schedule. And, you know, we got all sorts of stuff going on. But I wanted to mention Petty Buka was who sang that, not John Prine. I don't know if I said that. I've been on a John Prine kick, so I may have said that by mistake. But anyway, Petty Buka is a Japanese music group that consists of two women, Petty and Buka, who sing and play ukulele. And then in 1997, the original Petty left the duo, and a new Petty filled her spot. Then in November 2002, the original Buka left to take care of her baby and was replaced. So the current Petty and Buka hail from Chiba and Saitama, Japan. There you go. And the band performed several times at the U.S. Music Festival South by Southwest. I've never seen them, though, so maybe I should go check out those kind of cool shows. All right. Are you guys ready? Prepare yourselves.
It's time for tech news.
It's time for some tech news. So, in kind of funny, cool news, so remember how Elon Musk was pumping and dumping cryptocurrencies? Well, wouldn't you know it, as soon as the SEC started looking into Tesla's purchase of $1.5 billion worth of this asset, they decided to go ahead and dump it. So $1.5 billion, we don't know who sold it, but $1.5 billion of Bitcoin was liquidated yesterday. And suddenly, Elon Musk is no longer the world's richest person as Tesla shares fall. Coming to us from The Guardian, Elon Musk, the maverick boss of Tesla, is no longer the world's richest person after shares in the electric car company dropped 8.6% on Monday, wiping $15.2 billion or 10.8 billion pounds off his fortune. Musk, who last month leapfrogged Amazon founder Jeff Bezos to take the title, dropped back into second place with $183 billion, estimated fortune behind Bezos' $186 billion. The 8.5% drop in Tesla's share price on Monday, the sharpest one-day fall since September, was partly fueled by Musk tweeting that the prices of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies do seem high. Tesla's shares were down a further 6% in pre-market trading on Tuesday. His comments came just weeks after Tesla bought $1.5 billion of Bitcoin, which sent the price of the cryptocurrency to new heights, which reached a high of $58,000 on Sunday, and has since fallen to $47,500 on Tuesday. Price is still up more than 500% over last year. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. The crypto prices are high. Expectations are they'll correct, and they'll slump down, and then there'll be a boom again. Because this is the same pattern it's always followed. Just more and more retail people are buying cryptocurrency, and so the extremes are a lot higher. All right, what else is happening? Well, a dive in Bitcoin's price this week spilled into Tesla shares, shaving more than $110 billion off. We also have reporting from Reuters about that. A drop in Tesla also hits exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, such as the ARK Innovation ETF and ARK Autonomous Technology and Robotics ETF. They're both down more than 7%. A Germany-based trader said he was taking chips off the table on Tesla, as its $1.5 billion investment in the cryptocurrency could backfire now. So, we'll see how this plays out for him, but, I mean, if you're rich enough to manipulate the market just by your tweets, I don't think you're going to lose. All right, we only got a few seconds to go, so thank you so much for listening. This has been news to me, and stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow